Well, good morning, church. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today again and to see all of your smiling faces. It's always good to be with the church, and I'm always amazed at how God ties everything together. So thank you again, Paul, for introducing what the Lord is bringing today. We can't get away from the presence of God. You know, the verses that you shared this morning talked about, where can I go to flee from His presence when there's no place to go? He's there. And we want to talk about today about, I titled it Fellowship with God. And it's really the verse that I want to key on is out of Psalms again today, Psalm 16. 11. And so we walk in relationship with the Father. It's a relational thing where all of our relationships are that way, where we give and take, and we hear from the Lord. I'm going to go to a couple places in Genesis that talk about men who walked with God. And as I think of my childhood and growing up, my mother and father walked with God. And I know some of you can say that as well. My grandparents walked with God. Their grandparents walked with God. We have a family history of men and women who walked with God, who had a relationship with the Father. We want to talk about that this morning, about our relationship with God and how we walk in His presence. Spend time with Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for Your love. I thank You, Lord, that You that You made it possible through Your Son, Jesus, to walk with You, to have a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, don't let me get in Your way, but just speak through me to the body of Christ. Say what You want to, Lord, through me. And Lord, give us ears to hear what You're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's turn to Psalm. Let's begin there today. Psalm 16. And just a plug for Sunday school. Those of you who aren't coming yet, we have started a really, really good time in the study of Proverbs. We've got our books this week, and everybody has a book now. So if some more of you would love to join us, why, we'd love to have you. There's plenty of room. And what did I say? Psalm 16. I'm not there yet, so I'm going to keep looking here until I find it. It's really a family lesson, so if you'd like to bring your families to come to that at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, that's awesome. Because it's, if you think about the Proverbs, they're really talking to young people and showing the way to live, showing the way to wisdom. There's just a lot of good stuff for our youngsters. And so if you'd like to bring them and have them join with us in that, we're making it. Jesse's leading this time, and it's going really well. Those of us who are here are really enjoying it, and I'd just like to, if you'd love to come, why, we'd love to have some more of you join us in that. It's going to be a really good time. It's going to take a while to get through the book of Proverbs, and that's good, because we're soaking a lot of good stuff up. So if you want to join us in that, why, you're welcome to do that. I basically want to look at verse 11 of Psalm 16. And it says, "You have made known to me the path of life." So God shows us the path that we're to travel. And I didn't look this verse up. There's a verse that talks about He levels out the path for us. He makes it straight for us. And He goes on to say, "And You fill me with joy in Your presence. with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There's a lot of interesting things here in this one verse. So, in my footnotes, mine says, you have made known to me. And in the footnote, it says, or you will make known to me my path, the path that I follow, the path of life. Because we walk with God, He points out to us the right way to go. He points out to us, makes the decisions easy for us to follow if we're in relationship and with Him, to be able to understand what He's saying. So the first thing there that He talks about is that He gives us guidance. We'll know the path. We won't wander around aimlessly, because we'll understand where He wants us to go. In the back of my Thompson's Bible here, I've got a place here that talks about guidance. And in Psalms 23:2, He says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You all know the 23rd Psalm. It's one that we learned as children. When I was growing up, we learned to be able to recite the 23rd Psalm, to memorize it, and it's been one of my favorites through the years. But in that Psalm, in verse 2, He's the one that makes lie down in green pastures. And I've said this before, and I don't know how many of you pay attention to cattle or sheep when they're out in pasture. A lot of times you go by and they're just laying there, The cows are just laying there, chewing their cuds, and the sheep are all just laying. So they're content. They're happy. And that's one of the other things that we'll see from this verse, is that in the presence of God, we have joy. So that's an awesome feeling. Psalms 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he'll be our guide even to the end." So we have a guide to the end of our life and even into eternity. We'll be able to spend eternity with the Father. Isaiah 42:16 says, "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do, and I will not forsake them." Our God won't leave us. He'll never forsake us. And as I've said before, I've found times where I wondered if God was hearing me, and I realized that I'm the one that had moved and not Him. So our relationship with Him is because of His love, because He loved us so much. The second part of verse 11 says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence." I've noticed that in life, I really love to be happy. I love to be joyful, and I think that's why the Lord put me in the profession that I'm in, because I love what I do. That's one of the reasons I'm still helping Jesse, because I love it. I mean, it's never really felt like work to me, because it's been good, just a joyful time. Well, we're not doing the same thing every day over and over, so it's not monotonous. It's just something different all the time, so we've learned to make it a good time. Jess and I have worked together since he was 8 years old. So, would you turn, 47 this week? 47. So, almost 40 years we worked together. And I guess as long as he'll have me now, I'll keep working with him, because it's fun for me. I enjoy it. So, life with the Father is about being joyful. It's about It's a pleasure. It's a pleasurable time. So let's see. Let me get back here to find some of the verses that talk about the presence of God, His divine presence. The reason I'm not going to each one of these verses is it takes a long time to thumb to all of them. So I'm giving you the verses. You can write them down, and I will be sharing them with you. The first one is Genesis 28:15, and I'm in it says, "I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, or bring you home again. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And I didn't go through and start looking at all the promises that we have from the Word of God. That's for a different day. But we have hundreds of promises in His Word that He talks about staying with us, being in His presence, loving us, just all kinds of promises that we have from the Word of God that talk about that, about His caring for us. The second one that I underlined here is from Exodus 33:14. And it says, "The Lord replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" How many times have we went anxiously towards something that we wanted to do instead of being at rest? But as we walk with the Father, as we spend time with Him in His presence, He says He'll give us rest. That's an awesome place to be. Again, I picture the cattle and the sheep in the pasture resting. You know, they're just laying there, enjoying life. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to rest in Him, to be able to enjoy His presence. And then the third one that I have for this one is Matthew 28:20. It says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So as you know, this was the end of the Great Commission when He told us to go make disciples of all nations. And then He ended up with, "And surely I will be with you always." So we can always, every day, be in the presence of the Father, spending time in fellowship with Him. I've learned through the years that fellowship in the church is just as important as fellowship with the Father. I've had a lot of friends who began to walk with the Lord and then they quit. And lost fellowship, quit going to church. And I have friends who think they can be godly Christians without going to church even. I don't believe that. I believe we need each other. And so that's why I'm thankful every week when I see you come and to share time with us here. Because I believe we need each other. According to the Word of God, we cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We have to spend time together to become a family, to become a unit, to become unified in the body of Christ. We have to spend time together. So fellowship with each other is just as important as our fellowship with the Father. So I want you to pay attention to what He's saying to us today as we learn to fellowship with one another. And then the third thing that we find in this verse 11 of chapter 16 is at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. So He promises us joy. to me, joy and pleasures kind of go together. Some of the pleasures of life make me happy, make me joyful. And spending time with the Father is a joy. So, some of the verses that I found where joy is promised to us. Psalms 126, verse 5, says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy." Isaiah 12:3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Isaiah 35:10 says, "And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." So when gladness and joy overtake us, our sorrow and sighing flee away. They'll leave us as we come into the joy of the Lord. John 16:24 says, "Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." So God knows what we need. And here He's telling us to ask, and we'll receive that our joy would be full. He knows exactly what we're going through, and He knows exactly what we need. So our joy will be full as we walk in His presence. And I wanted to take you to Genesis now, and just look at a couple of these fellows who walked with God, who had a relationship with Him. And it's amazing to me. That's one of the things. So I spend some time with Stan every week, Stan Cochran, and one of the things that he's been spending a lot of time in the Word, and he spends, because he's there by himself all the time, he spends a lot of time just thinking, and his mind goes places that mine probably wouldn't go. But he was talking about Noah, and he said, "How in the world can a guy build a boat on dry land when there's no water around?" You know, he heard God say that. He heard God tell him to build a boat. Excuse me. So he obeyed God. And I want to look at why and how this happened this morning. So let's start in chapter 5 of Genesis. Turn back to the beginning of your Bibles. Because I want to look first at Enoch. As I was thinking of men who walked with God, I knew that Enoch was one of them, because I'd remembered the verse that says, "And Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more." They couldn't find him anymore. So because of his relationship with the Father, God just took him out of the rat race. Wouldn't that be awesome? To just be walking with God and just leave this world without having to die. Your family knows where you are because they know who you are. But that's what happened with Enoch. And so in verse 21, it says, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters." Now, we won't walk for 300 years. Because you'll see here a little bit later on that the Lord, this is where God changed the lifespan of people, because the world became so evil. There apparently were only a few men who walked with God at this time. And so Enoch was one of those. And then it says, he walked with God 300 years, had sons and daughters. There he lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. And it was just amazing to me. He was gone. So then Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son, and named him Noah. I'm down in verse 28 now. And said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, he lived 777 years, and then he died. And then after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So imagine starting your family at 500 years old. That's a bit hard to believe as well. But they live 800, 900, 700 years at that time. And then we'll begin chapter 6. Noah, starting out Noah's life here. So in verse 3 it says, "Then the Lord said, My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal or corrupt," is what my footnote says. Man is corrupt. He'd become corrupt because they had intermarried with the daughters of the sons of God had intermarried with the daughters of men, it said. So, verse 5, "And the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." I did miss one verse there. Verse 3 is the one that says, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for his mortal, his days will be 120 years." So that's where he cut back the span of man. Lifespan then was going to go back to 120 years, and now it's lower than that. Average lifespan is probably somewhere in the 70s. I don't know exactly what it is, but not nearly as much as it used to be. So it goes on to say there in verse 8, it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God." Because he walked with God, that's how he knew that when God told him to build a boat, he should go ahead and do that. Because he walked with God, he spent time with him. The other people that I remember that walked with God were Adam and Eve. You know, when he put them in the garden, and he would come in the cool in the evening and walk with them, share some time with them. And so God loves to walk with these people. He likes to spend time with us. He likes to share life with us. So you all know the story, how the Lord told him to build a boat. It says, "Make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out, and this is how you are to build it. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it. Finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make it lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you, your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And I've told you this before, and I'll recommend it again. If you haven't been able to go down into Kentucky to see the Ark, I highly recommend it, just because it is the actual size of a boat that Noah built. So it's huge. when you drive up the hill and see the size of it, it's just phenomenal, just to really realize how big of an ark this was, how big of a boat that Noah built. And no wonder his neighbors were laughing at him, because he was building it on dry land. He wasn't building it close to water. He was doing what God told him to do. And so, it's not a long drive down there. Your kids will love it. It's a great family project. And there's you can spend the whole day there. There's just lots of things to do, especially in the summertime. They've got zip lining, and they've got a little zoo there, so there's animals. The actual ark is not filled with real animals, but they have replicas and stuff like that. But the size of it, and just the way they speculated that they got rid of the manure and stuff in it, it's just pretty cool to see. They've actually got rooms with the family of Noah inside the ark, and how they share life there together. Because they were in it for, I think, almost a year before, because it was like 150-some days until the water started to recede. And so they were in that ark a long time. But if you get a chance to go and look at that, that would be awesome. But the thing that I really wanted you to notice about Noah's life was that he walked with God. And how important it is for us to walk with God, to spend time with him, to learn of his ways, and to walk in his paths. I want to finish up today in 1 Corinthians. There's just actually one verse there that I'd like to read for us. So if you would, we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to just finish up with a verse there today. I'm getting there. You probably found it quicker than I did. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. So he called us into fellowship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is faithful to keep that love relationship with us through our whole life. He won't fail us. He's trustworthy. I can tell you today that God is trustworthy. And he wants what's best for you. And so fellowship is good. Fellowship with the Father is awesome. So as you spend time with him this week, just remember how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. If any of you have needs this morning, well, I will be here to pray with you. Jesse and I will be here as we sing the last song. If there's anybody who has never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, I'd love to have time with you to help you through that process. It's good when another soul comes to know the Lord and promises their life to him. So.